Hannah, in my own personal narrative, this story is about discovering actual people, mainly Palestinians, but Jews too, who were being hidden in this darkness of ignorance, this ignorance that comes in part from the propaganda and sometimes outright lies. It's taken a long time for the Palestinian people to emerge into the public's consciousness as actual people. Do you think that's happening, or am I dreaming?
First of all, I think let's differentiate a bit between the North American public or the Western public and the world public, because in the conscience of the world public in general, we've been on the conscience of these people for a long time, since 48, because many in the third world, Asia, Africa, and Central and South America, people knew what happened to the Palestinians. The only people who are misled because of the interest of the West in the Middle East are the North American people. And for many reasons, one of the main reasons is the alliance of the governments of the Western government with Israel. They look at Israel as a military base for them in the Middle East to protect their interests, mainly oil, and to stop the growing nationalist movement in the Arab world and to suppress any democratic change in the Arab world. And the other thing is the media, which tries to brainwash people, again, because it represents the multinationals and the status quo in North America and in the West in general. So I'd say the Western public opinion been for a long time been brainwashed of what's really happening in the Middle East. I see lots of signs of change, and the change didn't happen just with this intifada. It started with the 1982 with the brutal invasion of Lebanon when Sharon was defense minister of Israel, and he was the architect of that invasion. And during that invasion, almost 30,000 Palestinian and Lebanese were butchered in cold blood, mostly civilians. During that invasion, and it culminated in the massacre at Sabra and Shatila, where the Israeli army entered Beirut and let the phalanges go into the refugee camps. And this was against an agreement which was brokered by Philip Habib, the American envoy, that was agreed upon with the PLO, and two conditions were met by Philip Habib from the PLO, that Israel shouldn't enter Beirut, and the second thing was the safety of the refugees in these refugee camps. And the Palestinians get this guarantee that Israel won't enter Beirut, and the second thing, that the Palestinian civilians in these refugee camps will be safe. America guaranteed that through Philip Habib, but we know after that what happened in 82, the Israeli army occupied Beirut, which is they broke their word, and the Americans broke their word by allowing Israel to occupy Beirut, and the safety of the refugees wasn't guaranteed. Actually, a massacre happened, which was documented at Sabra and Shatila by many international organizations. So again, I think Israel and Sharon are not the only culprit in this massacre and in this, because the Americans signed to this deal and they carry a major responsibility for what happened in 82. But since then, I go back to my point, since then the Western public start changing their point of view about Israel and the misconceptions that it's the only democracy in the Middle East, etc., etc., all that nonsense that the media was feeding the public. And with this intifada and the recent brutal Israeli occupation and massacres in the West Bank, especially at Jenin refugee camp, the West in general woke up to what's happening, and we find it really heartening that the support we are getting, we are not keeping up with the amount of support that we getting from all over the Western world. It is huge and immense, and the international solidarity movement that went to Palestine is an indication of this support, and it shows that the North American people and the European people are not really happy with what their governments are doing, and if these governments are not going to send official United Nations troops to protect the Palestinians, they're going to do it themselves. And they did it, and we've seen that when they entered the headquarters of Arafat, and when they stormed the Nativity Church with food and basic supplies for the people who were surrounded and held hostage by the Israeli troops who were surrounding and desecrating the Nativity Church.
Hannah, you chair an organization that brings together people of various backgrounds, Arabic and Jewish, Christian, secular people, and others. Do you see any hope of cooperation between Israelis and Palestinians, or between Arabs and Jews?
Yeah, I think this is possible as long as there is a basic concept that all of us human beings are equal and we should be treated equally. As long as there is a Zionist ideology that promotes sectarianism and exclusiveness, I think peace is very remote and won't happen, because if you feel you are a superior, the same ideology like the Nazis, you can't really have peace with such people. And I'm talking about the Zionists. And when I talk about Zionists, doesn't mean I'm talking about Jews, because there is lots of Zionist Christians who are more supportive of Israel than many Jews. When we talk about cooperation and living together with Jews, this is visible, because you know most Jews are against the segregation, against the superiority of the Zionist ideology, and are against the atrocities that Israel is committing against the Palestinian people. So in that sense, I see a solution that includes a just solution for the Palestinian people and coexistence. And that's what our objective is. I think the Israeli government at this stage made it impossible for a two-state solution. The Bet Salem just issued a report 2 days ago saying that the Israeli settler organizations in the West Bank control 42% of the total area of the West Bank. So what's left for the Palestinian people to build the state on? That's it's simple math. It's 58%, and that's if Israel would give the 58%. Sharon doesn't want to give 58%. He's saying he'll give back 42% only of the West Bank. So it's not really viable state. It's not visible either. And the Palestinian people won't accept such a state that is going to be controlled in every way, economically, militarily, and even in municipal affairs, because Israel controls the water, and they don't want to give up the water. So the Palestinians are not going to accept that. So the only visible solution that I can see is based on equality, and the two-state solution is not really dead if there is equality in dealing with the Palestinians in general. And I mentioned two examples which is part of the Israeli law. One is the Jewish National Fund, which control 93% of the total area of Israel. Control 93% of the land of Israel, and this land can't be uh, uh, sold to any Arab, whether Muslim or Christian. Not just can be sold, it can be leased even. You can't lease from the Jewish National Fund if you are a Christian or if you are a Muslim. So as long as there is a law like that that discriminates against people because of their ethnicity or because of their religion, I don't think there's going to be peace or justice there. The other thing is the law of return, which is part of Israeli law, that allows any Jew, whether born in Palestine or not, any Jew from anywhere in the world, to become a citizen and can go back. Recently, Sharon asked for 1 million Jews to go back to Israel and to be accepted immediately. At the same time, he refusing to accept any Palestinian, whether Muslim or Christian, to go back to their hometowns, whether in Jaffa, Haifa, or any other place in Palestine. So this is clear discrimination based on sectarianism and on religious fanaticism. So as long as these laws do exist within Israel, I don't think there's going to be peace, because peace should be based on treating each other as equals and as human beings and as people who are not less superior or more superior than the other.
You raise a question in my mind when you talk about the two-state solution being almost dead. There's a small group of people who still, or seems to me it's a small group of people, who still talk about a single-state solution. Could you comment on that just briefly? Is that just a dead letter, or is that something that might realistically be considered?
Yeah, I think that's the only viable solution if we want to have really a democratic state in the area. Because when you talk about two-state solution, you are defining the Israeli state as a Jewish state. But I have a question for people who want to keep that Jewish majority in the Jewish state. If you want to keep the Jewish majority, you're going to have to try to reduce the Palestinian population. Again, when I say Palestinian, I include Muslims and Christians. You have to keep it down, either by reducing the birth rate or by expelling the Palestinians from Israel. The other thing, you want to count on other immigration, other Jewish immigration, to increase the Jewish population. But if they leave it as a natural development, the population, the demographic structure inside Israel, now the Palestinians people who get the Israeli citizenship, who are counted as Israeli citizenship citizens, comprise 22% of the population. And you know, the estimate is between now and 2020, this population is going to become almost half or 50%. So if they become 50% in another 18 years, what Israel is going to do? You know, it's not going to be a Jewish state anymore if it's 51% of its population are Christians and Muslim Arabs. So what they're going to do? The only thing, either they're going to bring more Jewish immigration and force that into Israel, and by forcing it, they're going to have to instigate anti-Semitism all over the world, because that's the only way to get Jews to go to Palestine, is to instigate anti-Semitism. And they're doing that now by putting a dark mark on the Jewish people in general by associating the atrocities that the Israeli state and the Zionists are doing with the Jewish people. By doing that, they are creating hatred against the Jews all over the world. And it is planned to bring more Jews from all over the world. And the other solution would be is to try to ethnically cleanse the people who are in Israel now and who hold Israeli citizen. That's aside from the West Bank, because the whole plan that they are doing now is to try to ethnically cleanse the territories, the occupied Palestinian territories in the West Bank and Gaza, from its people by putting all sorts of military pressure, economic pressure, to force them out of their homeland.
I just wanted to ask about that. When you talk about the 22% Palestinians who will by 2020 be 50 or 51%,
yes.
you're talking about Palestinian Israelis now, is that right? Palestinians,
yes.
Living inside the Green Line.
Yeah, and they hold the Israeli citizenship.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So what do you think is the most important concrete step that could be taken on the path to peace in the Holy Land?
Yeah, I think the most important step is to have a society inside Israel where every citizen in it is equal, regardless of their ethnic background, their religion, or their ethnicity. Because if you don't do that, the time bomb will keep ticking. And that's what happened the last 54 years. Equality means justice. Justice means peace. Without taking these steps, there'll never be peace in Israel-Palestine. Because you can't treat other human beings in an inferior way and claim to be democratic or to claim to be you're going to have peace. And this is just won't work, you know. The essential formula for any justice and a peaceful transition in anywhere in the world is to give equality and treat people equality, like what happened in South Africa. Without giving South African black people equal rights, you won't have the peace that we had the last 10, 15 years after the apartheid system was abolished. That's the same thing in Israel. You will never have peace unless you have justice. You will never have justice unless you have equality. And this is essential that the Jewish population of Israel start realizing that. And the same with the Jews all over the world. The majority of Jews recognize that you can't have really an exclusiveness and superior a society that calls for a superior race. They won't last forever, in spite of all the support they are getting as an Israeli state from the U.S. and the only superpower in the world. This won't last forever. The U.S. won't last forever. No empire lasted forever. So the only guarantee for peace and security for both people is equality.